He is risen. And today we celebrate one of the most powerful truths in history. The tomb is empty. The stone is rolled away, and death itself has been defeated. Easter is the day when heaven declared the sacrifice is accepted. The cross was not the end. The cross was an altar. And the empty tomb is the proof that the offering Jesus offered was perfect, complete, and pleasing to God. But I want to begin by asking you a very simple question, something that I want you to ponder as we go through today's sermon. If Jesus gave his life for us, what kind of life should we now live for him? That's kind of the heartbeat of what we're going to be doing for the next 5 weeks. So this is something different. Usually when you do Easter, either Easter comes at the tail end of a sermon series, or it's an island all by itself where you do a special sermon. This is actually the introduction to a sermon series. So that means if you want the rest of the sermon, then guess what? You got to come back for the next 4 weeks. Isn't that kind of clever? So this is actually the introduction to a sermon series, and for the next 5 weeks, we're going to go back and look at one of the most overlooked and least understood passages of Scripture in all of the Bible. Hey, Thomas, we're going to the first 7 chapters of Leviticus for Easter. Thomas and I were having a conversation about Leviticus before church started, and I say that, and you're probably thinking, Leviticus? Really? That's where you're actually going to go for Easter? But here's what I need you to know. Before there ever was a cross, there was an altar. Before Jesus ever cried out the words, "It is finished," God had already been showing his people what a finished sacrifice would look like. Every offering in Leviticus points forward to the person of Jesus, as Rich identified him, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And every one of those offerings teaches us something about how we are supposed to live in response to him. Each week of this sermon, we are going to place an item on our altar. Now, I just wanted to let you know, I wanted to build the real thing. But somehow the elders of this church thought it a really bad idea to let me play with fire in a closed building. So it's not an option. They wouldn't let me build a real one. So this is going to be our altar. And each week, we're going to place something on our altar. And this week, we are going to begin with a simple piece of wood. There's nothing sacred about this piece of wood. As a matter of fact, I did not collect this piece of wood till Friday, and I happened to find it sitting out here behind the shed. It was a great big long stick, and I broke it up so it would be small enough for me to bring it here. It's just a piece of wood. And the thing that you need to remember is that this piece of wood fits into an altar because the altar, the original one in Leviticus, was wood covered by gold. And you know how they lit the fire on that particular altar? They used a piece of wood. And when the sacrifices were all done, the piece of wood was completely consumed. It was completely burned up. It was nothing left but ash. So today, as we place this piece of wood onto our altar, we need to remember the wood represents a place of surrender. A place where something valuable is completely offered. It represents a sacrifice that was offered. This wood reminds us that Jesus held absolutely, positively nothing back. He didn't give most of himself. He gave all of himself. And because he did, we should now live as a people that hold nothing back from him. I really wasn't kidding. We are going to Leviticus. And I am now reading from Leviticus chapter 1, verse 1 through 9. This is called the burnt offering, the sacrifice for sin. The Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tent of meetings. He said, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, when anyone among you brings an offering to the Lord, bring it as your offering, an animal from either your herd or your flock. If the offering is a burnt offering from the herd, you are to offer a male without defect. You must present it at the entrance of the tent of meeting so it will be acceptable to the Lord. You are to lay your hands on the head of the burnt offering, and it will be accepted on your behalf to make atonement for you. You are to slaughter the young bull before the Lord. And then Aaron's sons, the priests, shall bring the blood and splash it against the sides of the altar at the entrance of the tent of meetings. You are to skin the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. The sons of Aaron and priests will put fire on the altar and arrange the wood on the fire. And then Aaron's sons, the priests, shall arrange the pieces, including the head and the fat and the wood and the burnt offering on the altar. You will wash it. And then you will wash it and the legs with water. And the priest is to burn all of it on the altar. It is a burnt offering, a food offering, an aroma pleasing to the Lord. Now, the burnt offering was actually the most basic and most complete and most frequent of all the sacrifices in the Old Testament. We come here on Sunday morning, and I'm sure you had some things happen to you during this week that if we had a confession time, we might have a line longer than the breakfast line downstairs. Understand that when you came and you confessed in the Old Testament, you had to bring an animal with you. And you brought the animal from wherever you were staying. So that means as you were trudging your way through the city, and you got your animal in tow, everybody got to see you. You didn't get to hide it and sneak it in the back curtain. Everybody knew where you were going. And if you had the animal in tow, everybody knew why you were going. And as you were going, did you not hear some of the whispers? Wonder what he did this week. I bet it's a big one. Look at the size of that cow. Over and over and over. But you need to understand, when someone brought a burnt offering, they weren't just saying, God, I sinned. What they're actually saying is, God, I'm yours. Leviticus chapter 1 verse 3 tells us that if the offering is a burnt offering from the herd, you are to offer male without defect. It had to be perfect. It had to be exactly what God said it was. You must present it at the entrance of the tent of meetings that it will be acceptable to the Lord. So the worshiper would bring the best animal they could find, not the leftover. Not the things that had no value to you. You had to pick the best of the best. The thing that was priceless, that basically you're thinking, man, if I give away this, it's going to cost me something. And then they would take that animal there, and when they got to the tent, it wasn't to just hand it over to the priest, and the priest lugged the animal back there and did the dirty work. Oh, no. Right there at the entrance of the tent of meetings, first step, you were supposed to take your hands and place it on the head of the animal that you brought, therefore representing that you were transferring your sin onto this animal. You were demonstrating the connection between your sin and what that animal is about to do for your sin. And then right there at the tent of meetings, right there at the beginning, the animal was sacrificed. You had to stand and watch. You didn't get to drop and go. You had to stand and watch as this animal gave its life to pay for your sins. And when it was all done, no portion was kept for the priest. Some of the sacrifices we look at over the next few weeks, the priest gets a part, you get a part, everybody gets a part. It's something that nothing goes to the priest for this one. No meat was eaten by the worshiper. This wasn't a fellowship offering. This was a sin offering. You understand, it was completely devoted to God. 100% of what you brought was about to go toward God. And you know, God called it a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Now, yesterday we had a little cookout at my house, and I put some steaks on the grill, and it was a pleasing aroma to Barry. I want to tell you something. It smelled awful good. Oh, and my neighbor's like, and it was a pleasing aroma to me. It smelled so good. This isn't what it's talking about. It's not talking just because of cooking the meat, because they weren't going to cook it. They were going to burn it all the way gone. This is like beyond the well-done steak. It's just charred. it's gone. But God calls it a pleasing aroma, not because of the smell of the burning meat, but because it represents total devotion to God. It's a heart that says, God, I am yours entirely, 100%. And the burnt offering, it was only a shadow. The substance and the reality came when Jesus Christ gave himself on a cross. And in that giving, Jesus became a complete sacrifice. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2 says, For God's example, therefore, is dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Paul reaches all the way back to Leviticus, and do you see it? The pleasing aroma? It was called a fragrant offering. Every part of his life was offered in obedience. Every step, every word, every moment, his suffering was laid on the altar for God's will. He was the perfect, complete sacrifice for sin. And you know what? The altar in Leviticus was made of wood. It was put there as a wood thing. And now, they did cover it in gold, but centuries later, another piece of wood would be lifted up on a hill in Jerusalem, just outside. And on it, there was an offering made. His name was Jesus. The fire of God, the judgment fell there, but it did not consume us. But it did consume him. Jesus cried out and wanted to know, why have I been forsaken? Jesus struggled with the idea that the sacrifice was going to cost more than he probably could have imagined for himself. He became what could never be perfect. We could never be. He was perfectly righteous, perfectly obedient, and most importantly, completely surrendered. And when the fire was done and the sacrifice was complete, Jesus finished it with three simple words. It is finished. The smoke rose to heaven, and God said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then they placed him in a tomb. They rolled that rock in front of him. They sealed that tomb up, and the story was supposed to be over. The story is supposed to be done. But 3 days later, you understand, the tomb was empty. The sacrifice was accepted, and the offering was made complete. And in that moment, death was defeated. And I read that story, and how many times have you heard that? Well, it depends on how many Easters you've celebrated. We tell the story at least one time a year. In some churches, it's one time a week. We tell this story over and over again. And if that all this is a story to you, then you have to appreciate that you've missed something at the altar. You see, the question becomes now, how do I need to respond? What do I need to do? And in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, this is what we read. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, wholly pleasing to God. This is your proper worship. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Then you will be able to test and approve what is God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. In God's view of mercy, in God's view of what Jesus did, in God's view of the cross, in God's view of the resurrection, God is no longer looking for burnt offerings. We no longer bring animals to an altar. He's absolutely, positively looking for something more important. He's looking for us. Because that's what I bring today. We bring ourselves. God isn't looking for the burnt offerings anymore. He is looking for our burning hearts. Our desire to live in a relationship with him. He doesn't just want a piece of you, a portion of you, a small part. You know what he's asking for? All of it. God wants all of you. But what does it mean to be fully offered? And I began to think about this because it means I absolutely hold nothing back. No part of my life is off limits to what God says. It means, God, you can have my Sundays, but you can also have my Mondays. Mondays are a horrible day to give to God. I can tell you, my Mondays are terrible. But God, you can have those if you want them. It means you can have my voice in worship as we sing songs, but you can also have my words at home. When I talk to my family, when I talk to my friends, and when I share my life. You know what? You can have my love for you. Yeah, but you can also have the forgiveness for them. The two pieces have to work hand in hand. The burnt offering was a call to total devotion. And when we live as living sacrifices, it says we are holy and pleasing to God. When I live as a living sacrifice, I'm all the way back at the altar where it's all being offered once again, and I am a pleasing aroma to God. God smells my life, and he says, you know what? It's well done. It's pleasing. And again, I come back to it. What is that going to look like this week? I mean, it's great to have this great big umbrella, but I got a week because Easter's going to end and the alarm clock's going off tomorrow morning, and it's back to life as normal. Maybe it means surrendering control in an area that we've been insisting to have our way. Maybe it means forgiveness to someone who doesn't deserve it. Maybe it means choosing obedience that no one else sees. Maybe it means, God, I've been half on the altar, but today I'm all in. See, because whatever it is, whatever Easter means to you, you understand when you climb on an altar, it means, Lord, I am all yours. Burn away everything that does not honor you. Everything else, God, please just take it away. And then he comes to this idea that now it's time for us to understand. It reminds us that the altar is where the fire never went out and where the cross, the Son of God, laid down his life. The altar is, it points to us to the empty tomb where the offering was accepted and the victory was won. The burnt offering was consumed completely. It was so the love of Jesus was poured out completely for you. And he calls us to respond to that, not with my partial devotion, not with my halfway faith, but with a heart that simply says, here I am, God, all of me. Because Jesus gave his all for you, we must give our all for him. Understand, yes, that tomb is empty. Yes, the altar is ready. Yes, the fire still burns. But understand it burns that way, and it's that way because he is risen. He is worthy. And he is all. He gave all for you. And what he simply wants to know is, will you give all for him?